This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To proceed. So today, inshallah, we'll go over the chapter on usury, interest, riba. The complexity of this chapter starts from the very translation. Is it usury? Is it interest? How do you translate riba? It starts to be complex from the beginning here. Riba is not necessarily charging interest, because we will understand, we will come to see that there are different types of riba. There is riba al-fadl, which is the riba of increase. There is riba al-yad, that's the riba of exchange. And there is riba al-nasi'a, which is the riba of deferment. And that is usually where interest may be applicable. And also, when it comes to interest, it is not just when you translate riba as usury, the problem here is that usury in English means exorbitant interest. It means excessive interest. It does not mean interest. Whereas in Islam, riba is not only when the interest is exorbitant or anything. It is any benefit that the lender accrues from the transaction is considered riba, even if it is a minimal benefit, is considered riba. Like if I give you $5,000, and you come back, and if I expect that you bring me the $5,000 in a briefcase next year, that is riba. So if I tell you, here is $5,000, but when you come back, I mean, if you bring them back in a briefcase, that's nice of you, and that is fine, you know. That is fine, unless it is so premeditated, like it is. But if I tell you, here is $5,000 for 1 year, like it's a loan for 1 year, when you bring it back, just... bring it back in a briefcase or something, or anything, you know, like put it inside anything, that any benefit would be considered riba. Because the hadith, which, not necessarily established as a hadith, but the legal maxim is, كل قرض جرى نفعا فهو ربا. Every loan that brings about benefit or results in benefit, that is benefit that the lender accrues, a benefit for the lender. And also, you have to put between brackets here, worldly benefit. Because certainly when you give a loan to someone, you get an enormous benefit, but it is the sort of afterlife, in the afterlife. You get like a reward, Allah's reward, and Allah's pleasure. And that is the greatest benefit. But we're talking about worldly benefit here. So كل قرض جرى نفعا فهو ربا, every loan that will bring about worldly material benefit, maybe, is riba. Because you could, basically it improves the relationship between people, that's a benefit in this world. But we're talking about material worldly benefit. So in this case, riba is not only about excessive interest, it is about interest, any benefit that you accrue from loaning money. Because loan should be a completely benevolent, non-for-profit transaction. Giving loans should be a completely, completely benevolent, non-for-profit transaction. Any transaction that will that is expected basically to earn you profit should be a risk-taking transaction. A risk-taking transaction. There should be liability, as we said in the previous chapter, al-kharaj bid-daman. Profit and liability go hand in hand. Profit and liability go hand in hand. Profit follows liability. If there is no liability, there is no profit. So it should be an investment, a risk-taking investment, where you could expect some benefit, some profit. But if it is not, if you are not, if there is no risk taking, because a loan is not, there is some risk taking, but the money is guaranteed, right? The money is guaranteed. في ذمة المدين أو the money is guaranteed. At least the borrower is liable for the money. Yeah, the borrower is legally liable for this money to return it back to you without any loss. If the borrower takes this money and invests it in any undertaking or any business venture and loses all of it, that is not your responsibility. You gave them a loan, you get your money back, that is not your... Simultaneously, if you're not liable for any loss, you're not entitled to any profit. You're not entitled to any profit because the profit should follow liability. خراج بالضمان. So that is clear. So the Sheikh رحمه الله تعالى, the Imam ibn Qudamah رحمه الله تعالى said, باب الربا, chapter on ربا, usury / interest. And then he started by this hadith. But before we go over the hadith, so is riba halal or haram? Because the ruling is important. If linguistically riba means increase, but technically riba is haram. All different types of riba are haram. Riba al-yad, riba of exchange, riba al-fadl, riba of increase, riba al-nasi'ah, riba of deferment, all types of riba that we will discuss later are haram. And also, it is like waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى يَا الَّذِينَ مَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah and leave off whatever remains of the riba, of interest. Leave off the interest or give up the interest that you are entitled to from your riba transactions. It came down when they were involved in riba transactions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, وَاتَّقُوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا, and give up whatever remains for you, like the interest that you are entitled to collect now. So as if the ayah came to retrospectively void all the riba transactions and to only entitle them to their capital, because once this prohibition came down, if they were entitled to a certain amount of interest, the ayah came to tell them, give that up, don't take it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned them that if they don't, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, and if you don't desist from charging interest or taking the interest that you were entitled to, then be warned of a war against you by Allah and His Messenger. No one is up to this. The second thing that is important here is that the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith reported by Muslim from Jabir radiallahu anhu, said, لعن الله آكل الربا وموكله وشاهديه وكاتبه. And in some reports, قالهم في الإثم سواء, they are equal in sin. May Allah curse the one who devours riba, devours interest, the one who feeds it to him or gives it to them, and the two witnesses and the scribe, the one who will write the contract and the two witnesses. And in some reports, the Prophet ﷺ said they are equal in sin. They are equal in sin. And that is basically to discourage people and to emphasize the gravity of the sin. That is to emphasize the gravity of the sin. So that's the ruling of riba in general. It is one of the enormities, one of the kabair. Then the Sheikh said, عن عبادة بن الصامت قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير والتمر بالتمر والملح بالملح, that is six, مِثْرًا بِمِثْرٍ سَوَاءً بِسَوَاءٍ مِثْرًا بِمِثْرٍ سَوَاءً بِسَوَاءٍ فَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَتْ الْأَصْنَافُ فَبِيعُوا كَيْفَ شَئْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ فَمَنْ زَادَ أَوْ ازْدَادَ فَقَدْ أَرْبَى. Okay, so this is important now to understand this. So he said, الذهب بالذهب, which is gold for gold. Or gold paid for by gold. Silver for silver. And then wheat for wheat, or paid for by wheat, and then barley, paid for by barley, and tamr, dates, paid for by dates, and salt, paid for by salt. The Prophet ﷺ said, مِثْلًا بِمِثْلٍ سَوَاءً بِسَوَاءً, which is equal for equal, same for same, equal for equal. Which means what? We'll come back to it. But he said, فَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَافِ, and if they are different, then he said, فَبِيعُوا كَيْفَ شَئْتُمْ, then, you know, trade as you like, إِنْ كَانَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ, if it is hand-to-hand. An immediate transaction, not a deferred transaction. Hand to hand. An immediate transaction, not a deferred transaction. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that there are two issues here to pay attention to, which is equal for equal, and that is in reference to riba al-fadl, the riba of increase. If you sell gold for gold, they have to be the same weight. Equal for equal here means same weight, because gold is usually measured by weight. Silver for silver has to be the same weight. These four have to be the same volume, because it's usually measured by kail, not by weight, by volume, not by weight. Or usually meaning what? During the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So these were measured by volume, not by weight. And these were measured by weight. These were measured by volume. These were measured by weight. Which is consequential. No, it's very consequential. Okay, so he said, مِثْرًا بِمِثْرٍ سَوَاءً بِسَوَاءً فَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَافِ فَبِيعُوا كَيْفَ شَئْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ. Now, equal for equal and hand to hand. We will come back and talk about whether I'm just trying, because how to approach this is important. Should we talk about the illa now, the effective cause, and whatever, you know, or should we talk about, I actually thought of this last night, and I'm not, you know, I thought of the approach to this, because it is important. Maybe we should talk about the effective cause. Okay, let's talk about the effective cause. So these are called the ribawi, which means usurious items. These are usurious items, objects of sale. Six of them. By agreement, these are called the ribawi items. By agreement, these are called the ribawi usurious items. These six here. So gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates, and salt. Outside of these things, like things that are okay, except for the Zahiris. The Zahiris said that it is only these six that are considered usurious items, but the rest of the people who employ qiyas or employ analogy said that there are effective causes behind these being usurious items, and whatever shares the effective cause or the illa of the prohibition will also be a usurious item. Now, we can't really do this like very comparatively. We will have to have a sort of a base, and our base will be obviously the Hanbali madhhab. That is the book. Okay. So, in the Hanbali madhhab, and it is a beautiful base because the Hanbali madhhab, like usual, they have different opinions. Like one opinion would be like the Hanafis, one opinion would be like the Malikis, one opinion would be like the Shafi'is. So we will not miss out on much here. So in the Hanbali madhhab, there are three different opinions concerning the effective cause. Why are these considered usurious items? And when we say usurious items, it means what? It means trading those items will be more complicated. You have to trade them with caution because there are certain stringent criteria to be applied when you trade them. And all of this, we're talking about the type of riba that is riba of sales, because there are two different types of riba. Riba of sales and the riba of loans. Riba of loans is straightforward, and that is what you guys are interested in hearing about, because all of this stuff is technical stuff that you may not encounter, but certainly there are benefits of learning it. But the riba of loans is very easy. The riba of loans is when you expect a benefit, for a worldly material benefit from giving someone a loan. This is riba nasi'a. Nasi'a means deferment. This is where you charge an interest in exchange for the deferment of payment, right? You charge an interest in exchange for the deferment of payment. This is called the riba of loans. This is straightforward. There is no problem in this. We can be done now with the lecture. Right? Okay. Having said that, you know, this lecture could take 5 or 6 hours. Because now let's talk about the riba of sales. Riba of sales applies to usurious items and anything that shares the effective cause with the usurious items, and it applies to tajanus as well. Things that are of the same kind and the same benefits, and how do you trade things of the same kind and the same benefit. But that also that is also one of the effective causes of the prohibition of the stringency in dealing with the usurious items, and we will come to it. So the riba of sales, sometimes you will have to trade the items equal for equal, and all the time you will have to trade them hand to hand if they are ribawi items of the same group. And we will come back and talk about this. But the Hanbali madhhab, what did the Hanbali say about the effective cause behind the prohibition here and the prohibition here? Like I said, they have three different opinions. One opinion says that the reason why these are considered to be usurious is that they are measured by weight. Gold is measured by weight. You know, talk about uqiyya and stuff. These are weights. Silver is measured by weight. And that is the commonality between gold and silver. That is why they are, because when they look for the effective cause, they look for commonalities. And is there also some suitability to assigning this illah? is also some suitability, because there has to be some suitability. It just cannot be any sort of extraneous quality that is completely irrelevant. It's called wasfatar, the inconsequential attribute or inconsequential quality. There has to be some suitability. Is there any suitability in considering the effective cause behind calling these ribawi items that they are measured by weight? Yes, they will tell you that to be measured by weight or measured by volume here, the fact that something is measured by weight and measured by volume leads to riba, because they are the quantifiable, measurable. So if I tell you, for example, sell me this laptop for this desk, give me this laptop now, I'll give you this desk next month. Is riba obvious here? Not obvious. But I'll tell you, give me 4 kilograms of silver, and I will give you 6 kilograms of silver next month. Problematic? Okay. Why? Because the fact that they are measurable by weight, fungibles in general, fungible items in general that are measured by weight and measured by volume, can be used like currency, you know, in that sense. And in that sense, riba will apply to them because they're fungible and they're measurable. They are measurable versus the laptop for the desk. Okay, so there is some suitability in the scholars talking about, you know, the illa being that they are measurable by weight. Because you could say 4 for 6. You could say 4 kilos of silver now, 6 kilograms of silver in 1 month. Here, the Hanbali said, when it comes to these, that they are measurable by volume. And that is the illa. So the illa is weight here, and it is volume here. Weight here and volume here. So anything that is measurable by weight or measurable by volume, in this case, would be a ribawi item, and we will add to this anything else. They did not consider this idea of being foods. These are all foods, right? They ignored that. They ignored that. And they only looked at them being measurable by volume. So they will include things like cotton, for instance. If cotton is measurable by volume, they would include this. Not garments, but cotton, you know, when you harvest it. If it is measurable by volume, they would include this. And they would include anything that is measurable by volume. This, by the way, this idea of the illa being that they are measurable by weight or volume is also the Hanafi madhab. It is also the Hanafi madhab. And that is the more popular view in the Hanbali madhab, and it is consistent with the Hanafi madhab. They also talk about weight and volume, measurable by weight and measurable by volume. Now, the second opinion in the Hanbali madhab, you see the Zahiris, they just checked out and they're having fun now. They don't have to worry about any of this. They say that this is only 6 items. Qiyas is not applicable here.
Does that mean the Zahiris wouldn't say cash?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes. It looks like they wouldn't, yeah. But anyway. But then we will come back to it. We will come back to it. But then, the second opinion in the Hanbali madhab, they're saying, wait a second, no, 1 second. Gold and silver, there is something more to gold and silver than just being measurable by weight. Something that is even more suitable to be da'illa than being measurable by weight. Gold and silver are currencies. They are prices for other commodities. They are athman, thaman. They are prices for other commodities. They are the standardized prices for other commodities. So since they are athman, this thamaniyya, being prices of other commodities, being currencies, is the effective cause here, is the illah, the reason why they are usurious items. Yarhamkumullah. The reason why they are usurious items. So they said, when it comes to gold and silver, the fact that they are prices or asman, the thamaniyya, is the reason. So this is number one. This is their opinion number two. When it comes to these, when it comes to... Okay, and here, who agrees with them here? The Malikis and Shafi'is. So plus M, plus S. Malikis and Shafi'is would agree with them that it is the prices. The fact that they are prices or currencies is what makes them, usurious items. Ribawiyya. Then, when it comes to these now, when it comes to these four, their second opinion is pretty much in agreement with the Shafi'i opinion that these four are, ribawi, and we will come back and talk. And that is what my hesitation is that I wanted to first say what applies to these before I get every talk about the effective causes when it comes to the ruling, the equal for equal and hand to hand. But in general, just the fact that they have more stringent criteria in trading them, that is what it means, that is what being ribawi means. They said these four are ribawi because they are mat'umat, they are foodstuff. Foodstuff. And who would agree with them here? The Shafi'is. The Malikis will need to add food that is stored and that is muqtat, staples of food, that are non-perishable staples of food for the Malikis. But for the Shafi'is, just food in general. Okay, and that is the second opinion for the Hanbalis. What would be the third opinion for the Hanbalis here? The third opinion for the Hanbalis, they will say, no, it is not just being food. And that is the opinion that Imam Ibn Qudama chose here in Al-Umda. They say it is not just being food, it is being food that is measurable by weight or volume. Food that is measurable by weight or volume. And that would be their third position. So keep this here as prices, and this here would be food that is measurable by weight or volume. So, in this case, if you add food that is measurable by weight or volume, but you add staples of food to bring the Maliki in on board, you bring non-perishable staples of food to bring the Malikis on board. If you say non-perishable staples of food that are measurable by weight or volume, that would be the agreement of the four mazahib. That yes, these will be ribawi. No, none of the four mazahib will disagree with this. Only the Zahiris will disagree because they don't. They say it's only these six items. Okay? But if you say non-perishable staples of food measurable by weight or volume, will the Malikis contest? No, because we gave you what you're looking for. Non-perishable staples. Would the Shafi'is contest? No, we gave you the food that you're looking for. Would the Hanafis contest? We give you the measurable by weight and volume that you're looking for. So everybody will be in agreement here that these would be usurious items. But what about, food that is not measurable by weight or volume? What about pomegranates? What about watermelons? They used to be measured by count, not weight or volume. What about those? No, they are not ribawi. They are not usurious. So can you then sell one watermelon for two watermelons? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Shafi'is would disagree because for the Shafi'i foodstuff in general, I think the Shafi'is would disagree because it is just food stuff for general. The Malikis will say watermelons are not muqtat. and muddakhar. They are not non-perishable staples of food. The Hanbalis will say that they are not measured by weight or volume. So that is where the disagreement takes place. But in general, do you get this this idea? Because you know what we will add to these six items will now depend on this understanding. What is the illah? What is the effective cause behind calling these usurious items or ribawiyya? Usurious items or ribawiyya. So let us think of the laptop. The laptop, usurious?
No.
Car? Okay. Eggs? Depends. You know, it's food stuff, but again, at the same time, they are sold by count. So not sold, not measurable by way. Shoes? Okay. So what about cash? Okay. Yes, according to the majority here. According to the majority. What is the majority here? It would be Malikis, Shafi'is, and one report that's not the stronger report anyway, in the Hanbali Mazhab. So Malikis, Shafi'is, one report that's not the stronger report in the Hanbali Mazhab. That is basically... but there is another... issue here that what if they are not ribawiyya? Because let's get this out of the way. I think we should get this out of the way. What if they are not ribawiyya? What if they're not, let's say cash, but they have the genus. They have similarity. Similarity. And they are not ribawiyya. We agree that they are not, that you can't add them to these six items, but they have the genus. Then, if they have the genus, cash in particular was called, you know, or fulus. Whatever fulus would be like cash now. It is non sort of, it is currency that is not made out of gold and silver that they used to have during these times. Those fulus, they did not give them the rulings of gold and silver, but again, at the same time, the Hanbali said that there is no increase with deferment, and that would be the position of the Hanafis as well. The position of the Hanafis as well is that there is no increase with deferment. And they apply this to any two items that are similar to each other. Like, any two items that are similar to each other. Like, like a goat for two goats. A goat for two goats. Can you do this with a goat for two goats with deferment? A goat now for two goats in 1 month. Is this okay? A goat now for two goats in 1 month. Is this okay? Not okay, right?
No.
So you got this by sort of the sense. It doesn't feel right, right? It is okay, according to the Malikis and the Shafi'is, because are goats usurious items? Goats are not usurious items, are they? They're not. It's a goat. It's like an animal. We're not talking about, even what we're not talking about meat here. We're talking about an animal, a living animal, goat for goat, two goat for two goats. These are not usurious items. Malikis and Shafi'is will say yes. In fact, they'll support their position by reports from the Sahaba who used to sell one camel for four camels and so on. You know, one camel immediately for four camels for later and so on. Now, the Malikis and Shafi'is will say, okay, the Hanbalis will say okay as well. The Hanbalis will say okay as well. But the Malikis will pull out from this agreement when this goat is just like this, these goats. So akula, haluba, sort of like, they have the same benefits, uses. The two items, the two objects of sale have the same benefits or uses. So the maniki will leave room for, you know, two items being called the same thing, but they are not really similar. Two laptops, you know, at, you know, HP and Apple. So the malikis would come and say here they don't have the same uses. They're called laptops. These are both laptops. They don't have the same qualities. So the malikis will say, if these goats are just like these goats, then this arrangement is not permissible. This arrangement would not be permissible. So according to the weaker report in the Hanaf, okay, the two reports on the Hanbali madhab here. I'm blanking out here on the stronger and the weaker report, but I would say that it is actually a capital A here. Plus H, plus M, only M with this contingency that these goats are exactly like these goats, are exactly like these goats. So M with this contingency, they will say that this trade is not acceptable. The Shafi'is are the ones who will continue all the way, like sort of to find this trade acceptable, Then the majority here, even if cash is not usurious, but there is the genus, there is similarity here, then the majority would still say that cash, the obvious majority, will still say here that cash cannot be traded for cash with deferment and increase. If you say that cash does not take the same ruling of gold and silver because the illa is not being prices as the Malikis and Shafi'is and the lesser report in the Hanbali madhab said, so you say that cash is non-usurious, and then you switch from being Hanafi there to being Shafi'i here and say, and the Shafi'i said that non-usurious items can be traded for each other with deferment and increase, so goat for two goats is okay, then you can trade 10 pounds for 12 in a month. And that would be disastrous, right? Because that will basically hit at the sort of the foundation of riba itself. Riba would become basically not applicable anymore. The chapter of riba may not be interesting to study. It will lose its relevance because no one is using gold for gold or silver for silver. People are usually using cash now as the standard currency. So if you say that 10 now for 12 later is permissible, you could actually get there. You could get to that conclusion while being compliant, consistent with one of the mazahib throughout. But it will require some switching and some patchwork so that you can come to this conclusion. So when it comes to the illa, it seems that we really have to consider the illa here, and that is the position of most of the contemporary Hanbalis, and the vast majority of contemporary scholars in general, that the illa behind these being usurious items, gold and silver, being usurious items is what? That they are prices. It's not that they are measured by weight, that they are prices of other items, prices, currencies that are used, standard currencies that are used for purchase of other items. That is the position of the majority in the past, because it is Maliki's, Shafi'i's, and one Hanbali report, even though it's not the stronger, versus the position of the Hanafis and the stronger Hanbali report that they are measured by weight. But the Hanbalis were divided here. So we gave some more weight to the Maliki and Shafi'i position versus the Hanafi position in considering the illa here to be prices. Regardless of the old disagreement, as I said, once we start to say that the illa here is not that they are prices, not that they are currencies, we will end up in trouble with the whole chapter of riba. And we will have a lot of confusion with the whole chapter of riba. And most, you know, and it is not like we like hardship or we like to make things, you know, difficult for people. But honestly speaking, most of the banking, like industry and transactions, will be fine. Because cash will not be subject to the stringency that with which these items are treated. Cash will not be subject to the stringency with which these items are treated. Now I want to say, because it is important here, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about those items, he said, فَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَافُ فَبِيعُوا كَيْفَ شَئْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الْبِيَدِ. If these items are different, then you may sell as you like, as long as it is hand-to-hand. اختلفت هذه الأصنام. If these items are different, meaning gold for silver, okay? Meaning wheat for barley, right? Meaning wheat for salt. They are not the same kind. Then فَبِيعُوا كَيْفَ شَئْتُمْ. Then it does not have to be equal for equal. Does not have to be equal for equal, obviously. Does not have to be equal for equal. But he said, in كَانَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ, if they share the same effective cause of prohibition, they have to be hand-to-hand. So we said gold and silver, by agreement, share the same effective cause of prohibition, right? These four share the same effective cause of prohibition. So one item from this group, and whatever you will add to this group, whatever you add to this group here, one item from this group cannot be traded for the other item from this group within this group, except hand-to-hand. It has to be hand-to-hand, no deferment, hand-to-hand. Immediate transaction, no deferment. But it does not have to be equal for equal. Because if it is not hand-to-hand, it's called riba al-yad, which is the riba of exchange. You know, failing to immediately exchange the two items. Now, between these two groups, so gold for wheat, between these two groups, does it have to be hand-to-hand? No, it does not have. Between one from this group and a non-ribawi, non-usurious item, does it have to be hand-to-hand? No. So it doesn't have to be equal for equal, doesn't have to be hand-to-hand. What if you consider gold and silver, the illa, in the prohibition of gold, the illa in calling gold and silver usurious, what if you consider this not to be that they are prices, but to be that they are measured by weight? Can you exchange something else that is measured by weight for gold and silver with deferment? Yes. Even the people who say that they are that they share the same illah, they said illa naqdain, except for the two currencies. You could always, because by agreement, gold and silver can be traded for other commodities in the so-called bay' al-ajal, which is deferred payment transactions or sales, and bay' al-salam, which is advanced payment transactions or sales. Advanced payment transactions or sales. By agreement, gold and silver can be prices for other commodities, any other commodities, whether they're measured by weight or not. So is that clear? So always gold and silver, for other than gold and silver, and certainly other than cash, because cash is like gold and silver and being currency, currencies in general, can be traded for other items with deferment and increase. Among themselves, that group of items, among themselves, no. They have to be an immediate transaction. So you cannot buy gold and pay later. You cannot buy gold in installments. You cannot buy gold with a deferred payment plan. That is not permissible. Why? Because they all share the same illa of being prices. But if the illa was weights, you still can buy things that are measured by weight and pay for them, pay gold for them or cash in deferred payments or in installments. What makes, you know, so we understand the riba nasiya and we understand the wisdoms behind the prohibition of riba nasiya or riba of deferment, that it will result in exploitation of the poor, in widening the socioeconomic strata in the society, in money begetting money, which causes the economy to slow down. It gives strength or value to capital against labor. It will result in being lazy to take part in real business ventures. If money can beget money, and if I just put my money and get guaranteed interest, guaranteed payback, why would I risk my money in a true, real business venture on the ground? And all of these are undesirable outcomes that the Sharia wanted to fight. The Sharia wanted to fight the exploitation of the poor because interest could put them in a vicious cycle that would end up in their bankruptcy. The Sharia wanted to fight the extreme widening of the socioeconomic strata, the extreme, not the presence of socioeconomic strata or anything, but the extreme widening where the poor become really much poorer and the rich become much richer just by the fact that they own the capital. The capital itself brings income for them without them doing anything. You know, the capital. So the Sharia wanted to give labor some value against capital. So you could only earn profit if your money is being invested in a true business venture, in a true investment. So you could go buy a farm, you could go buy shares in a store, some business, real business venture. So all of these things are understandable. It's easy to basically talk about the wisdom of the prohibition of riba nasi'a or the riba of deferment. But what about these other types of riba of sales? You know, why does it have to be equal for equal? Why does it have to be hand to hand here? So certainly these are reflections, but not necessarily something that is particularly proven. Riba al-fadl was prohibited because it eventually leads to riba nasi'a. When people get used to trading, for instance, silver for silver, two uqiyya of silver, or let's say 10 grams of silver for 15 grams of silver. In an immediate transaction, you get used to trading 10 grams for 15 grams in an immediate transaction. This may result in people doing the same thing in a deferred transaction. Because they will think that, you know, if I'm doing this now, like 10 for 15, okay, I'll get you the 15 grams of silver next month. And that will result in riba nasi'a, or the riba of deferment. So that is why, the means to evil were blocked at the very outset or the very, very beginning of the road. Is it clear to some extent? You know, is it really problematic, or it's, you know, the riba of loans is very clear and straightforward. When you give a loan to somebody, you cannot expect a profit or increase or any material worldly benefit from this loan, because otherwise it would be riba. The riba of sales is a little bit complicated, but in general, they agree that these six items are usurious. They agree that within the same group of the same group that shares the same illa of prohibition, things have to be, if it is the same kind, it has to be hand to hand and equal for equal. If it is different kinds within the same group, it does not have to be equal for equal, but it must be hand to hand. So wheat for barley must be hand to hand because they are within the same group. If it is between the two groups, then it does not have to be hand-to-hand or equal for equal. If it is between one thing from one of these two groups and one thing from outside, which is a non-usurious item to begin with, no stringency whatsoever. It does not have to be equal for equal. It does not have to be hand-to-hand. There is some exception here when it comes to the non-usurious items. If they are of the same type, the same kind, you know, then in this case, the majority will say that they cannot be traded with increase and deferment. You know, so one goat for two goats later, the majority said no. No, particularly if they are the same goats, and the Malikis will now agree with the majority. If they are the same goats, have the same qualities, the same uses, and everything. So one Apple laptop that came out of the factory with the same sort of features? So three laptops now. They have the exact same features. You cannot trade one. You cannot trade one now for two later. You cannot do this. If the three laptops share the same exact features, everything, they are non-usurious items, yet this tajanus, the exact similarity between them, makes it a problem to trade them with increase and deferment. All of that's clear? Okay, good. And we will have to stop. I mean, it's, you know... But then I think we should leave time for people to, because some people have commitments and arrangements. So let's leave 5 minutes for people to leave, and then we will take all the questions that you have.